I want you to take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I don't know about this. This could be a problem. Are poinsettias flammable? We're going to find out, aren't we? Yeah. I'm going to try to be real calm and passive tonight. Just stay right here and be a good little boy. All right, 1 John chapter 4, please. I want to have you look at verse 7. We're going to read, I'll tell you when I'm going to stop. Start at verse 7, and you follow along in your Bible, please. And I'm going to kind of use verse 14 to launch me into the message tonight. But follow along, please, and get the heart of what the Apostle John is saying here. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." I want us to pray, and then I'll share a little thought with you before I get to the message. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this wonderful passage of Scripture that reminds us why the Lord Jesus came. And Lord, we're so thankful that we have a Savior. And Lord, we're thankful that we don't have to roll the dice and go through life and then take our chances at the end. But Lord, we have a book that gives us Your plan, Your wonderful, amazing, marvelous plan. And Lord, how the Savior fits into that plan as the propitiation, the covering, the atonement for our sin. And Father, through faith in Jesus Christ, we can know that we have eternal life. And Father, we can have confidence in that day when we leave this world and go into the next, that Lord, we, through the blood of Christ, will go into Your presence. And so, Lord, I pray that You will bless us tonight as we consider some of these things. And Lord, think of some other things about Christmas and about the home and the family, and Lord, make some parallels to the life of our Savior. So Lord, help me tonight. I need Your help. And Lord, I pray that You will help me to say what I need to say this evening. And Father, fill me with Your Spirit and enable and strengthen my mind. And Lord, help me to say what I need to say tonight. And Lord, You know every heart in this building. You know every need. And I pray that the Word of God will meet needs in our lives tonight. Bless us together, we pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. As I sat down this week and tried to see how the Lord was going to lead and see what to preach on, several things came to mind. But I came back to this passage of Scripture, read it over and over and over. And originally I had designed to prepare the message around verse 9, where the Bible here says that the love of God was manifested to us in that Christ, in that God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to give us eternal life. That was kind of the direction that I thought I was going to go. And as I continued thinking and seeing just how the Lord would have me to go, I almost completely abandoned that thought, went over to verse 14 and started thinking about some things connected to verse 14. And as I continued to work on the message, I thought to myself about, well, before I even flipped the page, I thought, this is unusual. This is not the direction that I intended to go. I got over to page 2 and I thought, this is definitely not where I wanted to go. I got over to page 3 and I thought, now how in the world does all this tie into Christmas? And so I thought, well, this is an unusual message tonight, but I think it's a message that the Lord wants me to speak. I tried to change it and the Lord wouldn't let me. So I have to give you what the Lord has given me, and I trust it'll be an encouragement and a blessing to you tonight. I want to speak to you on the subject of Christmas and the home. Christmas and the home. Christmas is such a wonderful time, and to be honest with you, I feel sorry for folks who celebrate Christmas without making the birth of Christ its focal point. I really do. The very name that we give this happy time has Christ for its first and most important syllable. It's not Candlemas, and it's not Santamas, or Merrymas, or Tremas, or Christmas Tremas. I mean, it's Christmas. We're celebrating the birth of our Savior. Now, the world can do whatever it wants to do, but the world cannot remove that elementary fact. We're celebrating the birth of our Savior, whether the world likes it or not. As I read the Christmas story over and over this week, Matthew, then to Luke, then back to Matthew, and then to Luke, my eyes focused upon something that I'd really never considered. Mary and Joseph were in this little village, the little town of Bethlehem. I've been there several times, and Bethlehem is not a big place today. Back in Bible times, it was nothing more than a little sign in the road that said, "You're now in Bethlehem of Judea." Very few people lived in Bethlehem. It was a shepherd village. There was not much going on there. But Joseph and Mary were of the lineage of David, and therefore they had to go to Judah. They had to go to Bethlehem, which means, by the way, the house of bread. It's fitting that the bread of life should be born in the house of bread. And they went to Bethlehem, a town where they did not live, a place where they were strangers, a place where even though they were born, their family was born there and they came from there originally, they didn't know anyone there. You say, well, how do you know that? Because when they went to Bethlehem, they tried to find a place to stay at the inn. If they had known someone there, they surely, with her in her condition, in the condition she was in, they would have went and knocked on the door of some distant relative and surely have been able to find a place to stay. But they were in a strange place. They actually ended up, because there was no room for them at the inn, in a place where the sheep were kept. When you go back to the Old Testament, you read the phrase sheep coat, a sheep coat. And that's where the Lord actually was born, in one of these little sheep coats. It was nothing more than a hole in the ground, a cave. And it was a place where the shepherds would take the sheep in out of the winter's weather. And in that little cave, however, and this is what crossed my mind, and I want to share it with you. In that little cave were all the ingredients of a happy home. Now, you think about it, folks, it wasn't much. But inside that cave were all the ingredients of a happy home. There is mother, and there is father, and their new little bundle of joy, the newborn baby. And all of these precious ingredients speak of something that is near and dear to every heart. They speak to us of the home. You know, we have seasons throughout the year when we associate Christ with heaven. Easter always stirs our hearts and causes us to think of heaven. But Christmas, and although there are plenty of heavenly connections to Christmas, Christmas always brings the sweetest thoughts of home. We always associate the Christmas season with home. So tonight, I want us to think of Christ in this connection. I don't know if you thought much about it, but there's not a whole lot in the four Gospels about Christ's home life. As a matter of fact, there's very little in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Christ's home life. But I want us to think for a little bit tonight about Christ and his home, about having a home, and about that which is the sweetest and most tender of all relationships, family and the home. It is apparent in our Lord's 3.5 years of earthly ministry that his home life had a great impact upon him. Through all of his life and ministry, the music of his home rings out like a sweet refrain. He never forgot home. And dare any of us ever forget our home life? Oh, your home may not have been as good as you wanted it to be, but all of us can look back to the formative years of life and find something in our home that for which we are thankful. My dad told me recently that that most every year at Christmas time, they never put up a tree and they never put out any decorations and they never exchanged gifts. He said that most of just about every Christmas that he would maybe get one gift or maybe another if one of his sisters purchased a gift and gave it to him. But they had no tree, they had no decorations, but he has to this day fond memories of Christmas and always speaks of Christmas in a favorable light. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because he had a loving mother and he had a home and he had some people that cared about him. And Christmas is Christmas. I realized how fortunate I was to have grown up in a good home. A strong, loving family. Thank God every day for my dad and for my mother and the home that I grew up in. Christmas was always a special time in our family, and it seemed that I always got even more than I ever desired or asked for. And I will never forget those Christmas mornings and the excitement that was in our house. I'll never forget the look on my mom and my dad's faces as we came running into the family room, and looking back on it, I remember them being just as thrilled as what we were. And of course, once you have kids, you understand why. You enjoy making your children happy. And I don't care who you are, I don't care if your memories of Christmas are good or bad, the Christmas season always takes our minds back to home. And I want to talk to you about home for a little bit tonight. I want to talk to you about mom and dad and brothers and sisters and about giving and making others happy. Just a couple of thoughts about the Lord, and we'll parallel those to our homes and our lives, and hopefully the Lord will bless it to your heart. The first thing I want to call to your attention is something that is so obvious that you might overlook it if you're not careful. And that is the influence of home is felt by all of us. The influence of home is felt by all. Whether we realize it or not, to our dying hour, all of us are impacted by the home. Whether good or bad, the home has had the greatest influence upon us, greater than any other influence. As the years unfold, we discover that home has determined who we are. Home has determined who we are. There is no way to escape it. Our home is always with us. And folks, that is why every biography that you've ever read takes you back to the days of childhood and begins there at childhood, at birth. Because before the person's achievements can ever be discussed, the biographer has to take you back to the foundation, to the person's father and mother, and the environment of the home. Because in most cases, it's the environment of the home that has fashioned and formed the person that the biographer is writing about. A person may rise to the highest heights, but he'll never forget his home. He'll never forget mom and dad. He'll never forget the sitting around the dinner table. My dad was the first one in his entire family to ever go to college. He graduated from high school and went into the Marine Corps the day after he graduated, and then served his time in the Marines and then got out and went to college on the GI Bill. He married, raised a family, and sent all of us to college. And my dad did very well in his life. But you know, it's interesting today, he will sit around now in his mid-70s, and he will sit around and tell us stories of the hard times and the struggles that he faced when he was growing up. He never got over. Even the difficult times had a key part in making him the man that he is today. And you see, we never forget those formative years, and we always look upon them as special days. And folks, they are special days. And the reason is because they're ours. They're our days. They're our lives. They're what we have experienced. Now, with that foundation, I want you to realize that when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the influence of home was felt in its full intensity by Jesus. He never got over his home. He never got beyond it. Can I explain to you what I mean? Don't you find it interesting that the first miracle he ever performed was in a home at the marriage feast in Cana? And it's interesting that the very first miracle that he performed it in the presence of his mother, and his mother was the one that pushed him into doing that miracle. It's also interesting that the sweetest parable he ever spoke was about a man who had a prodigal son. The richest and deepest name that he had for God was drawn from the most tender of relationships when he told the disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." I remind you that it was said of Christ that never a man spake like this man. He spoke unlike all the rest of us. We speak of the weather or of sports or of our achievements or of our physical problems. But Jesus spoke of things most of us would never even think of. He spoke of children in the marketplace. He spoke of a woman sweeping her house to find a piece of jewelry that she had lost. He spoke of another woman who was baking bread in the kitchen. He spoke of a father who was brokenhearted as he thought about his son, his prodigal son, that had taken his inheritance and gone away into the far country and was about to ruin and destroy his life. Like a great wave, the thought of home broke over him in experience after experience. And while we don't have anything about his home life in the Gospels, we have everything about his life in the Gospels. And just about all of it takes you back to his home life and reflects upon the kind of childhood that he had. Now, I don't know about what that does for you, but that's a blessing to my heart. The thought of home was always on his heart. And all this shows that to our Savior, the thought of home inspired him greatly. The influence of home impacted every facet of his life and ministry. It colors his language and inspires his miracles and kindles his passion and directs his vision. Even on the cross, the very first thing that came out of his mouth was concerning his mother. He looked over at John and said, "John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." He was concerned about the family. Why do you think that was? Why do you think that was? I'll tell you why. It was that way with Jesus because his home meant the world to him. He was raised in the right kind of home. It impacted his life. As our homes reflect the person we become in life, I submit to you that Christ's home impacted his ministry. Folks, I'm saying that his home life only bolstered the effectiveness of his person and of his ministry. I mentioned to you a moment ago that none of the four Gospels tells us anything about his childhood. They don't tell us about his home life. We get a little glimpse when the Scriptures tell us that the child grew in wisdom and in favor with God. We then get another little glimpse when we read about him at age 12 when his parents brought him to Jerusalem for his bar mitzvah. And when he was in Jerusalem, they proceeded to go home thinking he was with them when really he hadn't gone home at all. He was sitting in the temple debating and arguing with the doctors and lawyers when they finally found him. But that's all we know about him. There is no mention, I dare say, that there is little said, if any said, about the so-called silent years in Nazareth. The four evangelists did not later come to Nazareth with pen and paper and sit down and ask the neighbors, "Well, what can you tell me about Jesus? You saw him grow up here. You watched him grow. You saw how he lived. You saw how he dealt with his parents and with his siblings. What can you tell me?" No, that never happened. None of that ever happened. You say, "Well then, Pastor, how can we know anything about it?" Folks, silent years, the silent years of his childhood, I don't think they're very silent, if you want my opinion. And really, I think they're quite loud. I mean, the truth is they speak very loudly and they show us that he must have had a wonderful, loving and caring home in which he grew up. He must have had a loving father. How else would he have known what the prodigal's father was thinking when he told the story about the prodigal son if his own father didn't treat him with love and respect? How else would he have known about all the things of home if he had not had a mother who took care of him and nurtured him and loved him and cared for him when he was growing up? I don't think they were silent years at all. I think they were very loud years. Folks, we need to realize the importance of home and family and of our children. We need to understand that. We need to slow down in this busy world in which we live and refocus our attention upon our families and upon our children and realize that you only get one shot at them, folks. And you better make it count. Many of you have already raised a family and now you're working on a second family. You got grandchildren. Many of you, though, in this room tonight are right now in the process of building a home. You right now have little ones who are watching you and learning life principles which will become their principles for life. I dare say that the Lord Jesus saw in Joseph and Mary a godly mother and a godly father and saw in them examples which only bolstered what he became as he grew. Young dad, young mom, listen to me. You need to realize that time stands still for no one. You need to realize that your babies are one day soon, before you even realize it, and right before your very eyes, are going to be adults. You need to realize that they're going to, before you can blink, be out of your home. and they'll be on their own. And right now, they need to see a mom and a dad who serve God. They need to see a mom and a dad that love the Word of God and love serving God and love God's will and are seeking God's will, who have lived and loved by godly example and are passing those same attributes along to them. But you see, in this world in which we live, man, everybody's going so many different directions. And you know who suffers? Our children suffer. I vowed years ago, when mine were little, that I was going to do everything I could to see to them that they turned out right. I vowed I was going to do everything I could. And about the time that Joshua got in the sixth grade, girls were in the fourth grade, it dawned upon me that I wasn't living up to my end. It dawned upon me that I had put the church and I had put preaching way out in front. I was running all over West Virginia preaching in everybody's church to the neglect of my family. And I just decided, when we moved to Illinois, I made the decision that I was going to put my family first. I made the decision that when my kids have a ball game, I was going to be at that ball game. I made the decision that when they had an activity, I was going to participate in that activity. I made a vow to God years ago that I was going to pray with them, and we prayed together when I can remember carrying those little rugrats up the steps and putting them in bed and praying with them before we went to bed. I can remember that. It was my privilege to lead all three of them to Christ. It's my privilege now to have my son serving as my youth pastor. It's my privilege to have my daughters as members of the church and their husbands. Folks, I'm telling you, you can't go wrong putting your family in its proper perspective. Fooey on your job. Look at your kids. Fooey on that promotion. Look at your kids. I mean, realize one of these days they're going to be gone. And I'm here tonight, and here's the message that God's laid on my heart. Hey, folks, love your children. Love your children. Teach your children. Invest yourself in their development. You can't depend upon the television to bring your kids up. They'll bring them up heathens if you do. You can't bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord by planting them in front of a television set and letting Hollywood teach them values. Build a home that your children will be able to look back upon and one of these days have the fondest and sweetest of memories. I read a story one time about two soldiers in the same foxhole in France during World War II. Bombs were blasting and bullets were flying overhead. And one guy looked over at the other and he said, "Man, this is awful, isn't it? I'm scared to death." The other guy looked over and said, "This is nothing. If you'd have grown up in my house, this is a piece of cake." I saw recently in the grocery store, I saw a man and his wife going at it verbally in front of their little 2-year-old daughter sitting there. I guessed her to be about 2 years old, sitting there, eyes this big, watching the whole thing. And that man belittling that wife, standing there cursing, calling her names, making her look like a fool in front of everybody. She was so embarrassed. I thought to myself, what a shame. What a shame. You ought not fight in front of your kids. You ought not fight, but you ought not fight in front of your kids. Your kids need to see a mom and dad that love each other. Your kids need to see a mom and dad that are serving God in church. Your kids need to see a mom and dad that love the Lord and love the Bible. So, what do we learn from Jesus? Well, folks, listen, it all started at his house. I mean, it all started at his house. You look at those parables. You cannot help but see the family all over those parables. Look at his teaching. You cannot help but see the family all over his teaching. Can you see him now? He's sitting there and all these little boys and girls, they want to be near him. They want to be around him. And they come and they mob him. And the disciples are saying, "You kids, get away, get away." And Jesus rebukes the disciples, "Suffer the little children to come unto me. And forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." "Ah, get away from me, I'm busy." Don't you ever do that to your child. Invest yourself in your children. Invest yourself in them. What better time to think about the family and home than right here tonight at Christmas Eve? Hey, folks, tomorrow's Christmas Day. Many of you are going to go home tonight and you're going to open presents and celebrate the Lord's birth. Well, listen, what better time to think about the children that God has blessed you with? What better time to think about the grandchildren that God has blessed you with? Draw them near to you. Keep them near to you. Don't let them get out of your reach and of your care. Last thing I want to point out to you is that we all long to be home for Christmas. That's a longing. It's in our hearts. We want to be around family at Christmas. One of the most popular secular songs known all around the world is "I'll Be Home for Christmas." You hear it over and over and over at Christmas time. On no other day of the year is there as strong a desire for family as there is at Christmas. And many of our guests that are here tonight are here to be with family for Christmas. I think the reason is because Christmas puts a feeling of giving in our hearts. That's what it's all about. You ever stop to think of why that's what it's all about? Can I remind you of what my text says? In verse 14 it says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Do you know why? Out of all the holidays on our calendar, do you know why Christmas is the time of giving gifts? It's because the greatest gift that was ever given to anybody was given at Christmas time by God. Amen. We give gifts in honor of the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind. When you get down to it, folks, that is what the first Christmas was all about. For God so loved the world that He gave. And we've been given gifts to celebrate that most precious gift ever since. Tonight or tomorrow, whatever the case, whenever you open gifts, your joy will be in giving. As a parent, your joy will not be in the opening of gifts, but in watching the faces of your children and watching the faces of your loved ones as they get presents from you. The other night, earlier in the week, Lauren and Ava and I went Christmas shopping together. And we went up to the Gettysburg Outlets, had a blast. And we were in the car on the way back. And I said, "Well, Lauren, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want?" And she said, "Oh, Dad, I don't know." She sat there for a minute in silence. And then she spoke up. She said, "You know, Dad, you remember how I used to be?" I was, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah." First one up every Christmas morning. I mean, you better leave that door open because it's coming off the hinges. There's not going to be time taken to open the door. First one up. Boy, I'm telling you, she was something else at Christmas time, as you can imagine. I said, "Oh, yeah, honey, I remember that well." She said, "You know, Dad, it's really weird." I said, "What's really weird?" She said, "You know, I don't really care if I get anything. All I want to do is just make sure that Ava gets everything she needs." Boy, big old tears welled up in my eyes. And I said, "Welcome to motherhood. That's what it's all about." You see, it is better to give than it is to receive. You ever stop thinking about what makes you so happy at Christmas time? You ever stop think about that? I mean, has it ever dawned upon you? It's not you opening the presents, it's you giving the presents. Now you stop think about that. Whether you open gifts tonight or whether you open gifts tomorrow, doesn't make any difference. I want you to think about it whenever you go to open the gifts. What is it that makes you so happy? It is not when you're opening a gift. It is when you are watching someone else where you bought them a gift and you're making them happy. You know, you could make it Christmas 365 days out of the year. If you just give yourself to your family the rest of the time instead of just one day out of the year. I don't mean you got to buy them presents every day, but you give yourself to serve. You give yourself to love, to care, to pray, and simply live your life for them instead of living your life for yourself. And who is it that set the standard for us to live this way? I tell you who it was. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. His every deed, his every thought, his every action was motivated by one thought: serving others. Can I remind you that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister? He didn't come to be served, he came to serve. And don't you find it strange that on the day we celebrate his coming to earth, we do so by giving? I think that's only appropriate, as that was what his life was all about. And folks, who better than to those in your own home? Who better for us to emulate the life of Christ than in front of our own loved ones? I challenge you tonight. Let your family see a servant in you. Look at the text again. He said in verse 14, "And we have seen and do testify." Folks, John spent 3.5 years with him. And John said, "I watched him. I watched him." Had you walked up to John and said, "Hey, John, why didn't you write anything about his home life?" John would have said, "I don't have to write about his home life. I know it was wonderful. I've seen his ministry. I've seen the way he treated people. I've seen the way he responded to situations. I've seen the way he served others. I know his family was right because he lived right." Folks, that's the kind of home that we want to have. We want to have a home where our children look at us and they don't see double standards going every which direction. We want a home where our children look at us and they see mom that loves God and dad that loves God and they love the Bible and they care about spiritual things and are not just concerned with who's on Oprah this week. Let your family see a servant in your life. Let them see the same characteristics that were in his life. And what was in his life? Love, patience, kindness, tenderness, joy, compassion. And that, dear friends, is the true spirit of Christmas. Because you see, when those attributes are in you, you cannot help but give them away. You can't help it. What's in there is going to come out. You cannot think of Christmas without thinking of the family. You cannot think of Christmas without thinking of the home. You cannot think of Christmas without thinking of love. And of course, you cannot think of Christmas without thinking of giving. The greatest thing that you can give your children is a happy, secure, godly, loving home. You may not have thousands of dollars to buy gifts, but you can give love. And I look back and I asked my dad, I asked him, I said, "Dad, you say when you were growing up, you didn't get anything." "No, no." He said, "We would just build a fire and sit around and mom would cook for us. And she'd make homemade this and homemade that. And we were the happiest kids on the planet because mom loved us." That makes a world of difference. A world of difference. You can buy them toys, games and Xboxes and PlayStations and cars and motorcycles and everything else under the sun. But if you don't give them love from a servant's heart, all you've done is spoil them in life. Give them love. Take him to your side tomorrow, tonight. Put your arms around him and tell him how much you love him.
That's right.
Let him see that godly love in your heart. Let him realize it. Folks, I'm talking to the choir here for most of you, and I understand that. But folks, I'm concerned about young moms and young dads getting all caught up in the rat race we call life. You know, our families are only deteriorating as time goes on. And I think the reason is because we've gotten so busy in life that we haven't taken time to live. May God help us to get back to the family, back to the home, back to mom loving the kids, back to dad loving the kids. I told my kids from the time they were just little infants how much I love them. I still tell them that today. When's the last time you told yours? When's the last time you put your arms around them and said, I love you? Hey, kids, when's the last time you put your arms around mom and dad and told them you loved them? Folks, we need to get back to the basics. And this, you don't get any more basic than the home. I remind you that before the Lord Jesus ever stepped out in public ministry, he spent at least 30 years in the home of a woman that loved him dearly. Now you think about that. You think about that. When the Xbox is worn out, your love will still be in their heart. When the PlayStation won't play any longer, the principles that you lived by, that you instilled in their hearts, will still be working in their hearts. Home and Christmas, they go together so well. Let's let the Lord do some work in our hearts tonight. Let's put the Lord back into Christmas. But let's also put the Lord back into our homes. I remind you again, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Notice that, folks. The Father sent the Son. The Father sent the Son. Everything about His ministry is connected to the home. That kind of makes me think that the Lord thinks the home is pretty important. Let's not get away from that. And let's let this Christmas remind us of the importance of our homes. Mine's important, but hey, so is yours. Let's make it an important matter as we celebrate Christmas. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, a little different message tonight than what I've normally preached in a Christmas Eve service. But Lord, this is what you laid on my heart, so evidently this is what we needed. And Lord, I know I need the reminder. We all need the reminder. And Father, I want to thank you for the Word of God, and I pray you'll use it in our lives and stir our hearts with what we've heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, please. Let me ask all of you tonight, would you just take a moment and think about what you've heard this evening? Would you just take a moment right now and think about the importance of putting Christ in your home? Would you just think about those little boys and girls that call you daddy, call you mommy? Would you just think about those little children that call you grandmother or grandfather? Would you just stop and think about them for a minute? What kind of example are you leading in their lives? What kind of example are you giving? Well, my friends, whether you realize it or not, they're watching you. And you are, by your example, you're putting into their hearts the person they're going to be one of these days. Oh, that they would see Christ in your life. How many here tonight will say, Preacher, God's dealing with my heart tonight? And I want to raise my hand as an indication that I want you to pray for me. I need to be a better example. I need to let the light of Christ shine brighter. Preacher, pray for me tonight. God's speaking to my heart. Would you raise your hand all over this building and let's pray together about this? Maybe you're a parent or a grandparent, whatever the case may be. Yes, God bless you. Many hands. God bless you. God bless you. Many hands. Thank you. Good. God bless you, folks. Amen. 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 Wonderful. You may put your hands down. Now, folks, if just this many people will purpose to make a difference, it will make a difference. May God help us to do that. Let me ask one more question of you tonight. You know, this verse of Scripture says that we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior. Let me ask you, is Jesus Christ your Savior tonight? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight? My friend, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, you need to do that. You need the Lord. You see, that's what Christmas is all about. For God so loved the world that He gave. And if you're here tonight and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I want you to know you can be saved right here tonight. Jesus loves you. That's why He came, because He loves you and cares. You know, the Bible says that we're sinners. All of us are sinners. And as sinners, we face an eternity in an awful place called hell to pay for the wages. The wages of sin is death. But the good news is, God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, and Jesus took our place in death. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I wonder tonight, is Christ your Savior? You see, He died for you, but you're not saved automatically just because you're born in America. You're not saved automatically just because you go to church. You're not saved automatically because you're a Baptist or a Methodist or your parents were Catholics. You're saved because of faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you've never prayed that sinner's prayer and called upon the Lord and asked the Lord to save you, you can be saved right here tonight. I'd like to help you with that. I'd like to help you get that matter resolved and get that settled. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, would you let me help you pray right now where you're seated? Right now where you're seated, you can pray and ask the Lord to save your soul. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I know how to pray. Well, I can help you with that prayer. I'll help you pray. You pray the prayer and mean it, but I'll help you so you say what you need to say. If you'd like to receive the Lord tonight, get this matter settled, would you just pray with me right now and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And right now, by faith, I call upon the name of the Lord and ask the Lord Jesus to come into my heart, forgive me of my sin. And Lord, I repent of my sin and give my heart to You. And thank You, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around. If you prayed that prayer with me just now and you meant it, would you raise your hand and let me see? Just lift your hand right now and hold it up where I can see it and let me rejoice with you. Would you do that? Would you do that? Hold it up where I can see it. Who prayed tonight? Huh? Good. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. And God bless you, ma'am. And God bless you, sir. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Good. Amen. It's difficult for me to see, but the guys are telling me several people have raised their hand. We thank the Lord for that. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. All right. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want you to stand to your feet and let's pray together. Everyone standing. Our Father, as we close now with an invitation hymn, I pray that You will bless during this invitation. Lord, I pray that You will help moms and dads and grandparents. And Lord, I pray that You'll help children. And Lord, help us all to realize we all have an important role, an important part in the family. Lord, maybe there's some young people that have been a little rebellious, been a little hard to get along with. Lord, may they realize their role. And Lord, may they be submissive to their parents and honor their parents. And Lord, I pray that they'll leave their seats and come to this altar and make some decisions about serving and being the kind of child they need to be in the home. Lord, I pray for moms and dads. Maybe they've gotten so busy in life and so busy trying to pay the mortgage and pay the cars. And Lord, they've neglected the most precious gift that we have outside of our salvation, outside of Jesus, which is our children. So, Lord, I pray that you will help us tonight to evaluate ourselves. And Lord, on this Christmas Eve, as we think about the matter of giving, as we realize that we celebrate Christmas by giving because that's what it's all about, Lord, may we come tonight and give ourselves on the altar and give ourselves to you, that, Lord, you might be honored and glorified in our renewed efforts to make our homes what they ought to be. Father, I pray, thanking you for these that have been saved. I saw at least 6 hands. There's probably more. But Lord, thank you for these that have prayed and asked the Lord to be their Savior tonight. And Father, I pray that you'll bless their lives richly. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. Now bless us as we close with a song. Lord, may decisions be made. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.